M, 475-2012 to report police abuse. If you're missing any of these numbers, by the way, listeners, give a call to this, remember one number, 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF. If you call that number, leave your number, I will personally call you back after the show is over and give you any phone numbers that you may have missed. Come to the Happy John Dine Memorial Protest, 5:30 p.m., November 12th at the town clock. Following the meal there, mourners will walk to Happy Corner at Soquel and Front Streets, where Officer Carey shot him down, a slaying the Police Review Board refused to investigate. For information, call 687-0942 or 335-8069. Volunteer to be an observer peacekeeper on the Headley Patrol, to monitor and document Officer Headley's special addiction to bullying poor people on Pacific Avenue. Help this officer. Call Free Radio Santa Cruz at 427-3772. That's our on-air line. Or if you want to give a public service announcement of your own at greater length, call the voicemail at 427-4523. Keep the community aware of real news downtown that commercial media won't report. And now a brief musical interlude to be followed by some in-studio guests. I should say in-studio guests. We have with us woman of the shadows, Shannon, who did such a fine interview with us a couple weeks ago. She lives in her vehicle, travels from town to town. She's been involved in protests against laws that target the homeless people, like the sleeping ban. And she's going to tell us what's cooking in her own travels and her own view of Santa Cruz. So stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz and call in to join this discussion at 427-3772.
And the night comes again to the circle-studded sky. The stars settle slowly, in loneliness they lie. Till the universe explodes as a falling star is raised. Planets are paralyzed, the mountains are amazed. But they all glow brighter from the brilliance of the blaze. With the speed of insanity, then he died. In the green fields of turning, baby is born. His cries grease the wind, mingle with the morn. An assault upon the order, the changing of the guard. Chosen for a challenge that is hopelessly hard. And the only single sign is the sighing of the stars. But to the silence of distance, they are sworn. So dance, 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 teach us to be true. Come dance, 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 cause we love you. Images of innocence charge him to go on. But the decadence of destiny is looking for a pawn. To a nightmare of knowledge he opens up the gate, and a blinding revelation is laid upon his plate. That beneath the greatest love is a hurricane of hate. And God help the critic of the dawn. So he stands on the sea, and he shouts to the shore. But the louder that he screams, the longer he's ignored. For the wine of oblivion is drunk to the dregs, and the merchants of the masses almost have to be begged. Till the giant is aware someone's pulling at his leg, and someone is tapping at the door. To dance, 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 teach us to be true. Come dance, 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 cause we love you. Then his message gathers meaning, and it spreads across the land. The rewarding of his fame is the following of the man. But ignorance is everywhere and people have their way. Success is an enemy to the losers of the day. In the shadows of the churches, who knows what they pray? For blood is the language of the band. The Spanish bulls beaten, the crowd is soon begone. The matador is beautiful, a symphony of style. Excitement is ecstatic, passion places bets. Gracefully bows to ovations that he gets. But the hands that are applauding are slippery with sweat, and saliva is falling from their smile. So dance, 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 teach us to be true. Come dance, 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 cause we love you. Then the silver flow of life is crushed into a lyre. The gentle soul is ripped apart and tossed into the fire. First a smile of rejection at the nearness of the night. Truth becomes a tragedy limping from the light. All the heavens are horrified, they stagger from the sight. As the cross is trembling with desire. And they say they can't believe it, it's a sacrilegious shame. Now who would want to hurt such a hero of the game? But you know, I predicted it, I knew he had to fall. How did it happen? I hope his suffering was small. Tell me every detail, for I've got to know it all. And do you have a picture of the pain? So dance, 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 teach us to be true. Come dance, 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 cause we love you. Time takes a toll and the memory fades. But his glory is growing in the magic that he made. Reality is ruined, it's the freeing from the fear. The drama is distorted to what they want to hear. Swimming in their sorrow and the twisting of a tear, as they wait for the new thrill parade. Yes, the eyes of the rebel have been branded by the blind. To the safety of sterility, the threat has been refined. The child was created to the slaughterhouse he's led. So good to be alive when the eulogies are read. The climax of emotion, the worship of the dead. As the cycle of sacrifice unwinds. So dance, 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 teach us to be true. Come dance, 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 cause we love you. And the night comes again to the circle-studded sky. The stars settle slowly, in loneliness they lie. Till the universe explodes as a falling star is raised. Planets are paralyzed, the mountains are amazed. But they all glow brighter from the brilliance of the blaze. With the speed of insanity, then he died.
Phil Oakes, The Crucifixion. A long song, but a good one. Well, we have that woman, Shadow Dodger Shannon, with us here. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm fine. How are you? How do we get Shadow Dodger Shannon?
It seemed to come to me today. But actually, I'm still working on that.
I've been thinking about calling myself Mama Indy. because...
Call you Mama Ann.
Everybody calls me Mama. The police call me an indigent, and I think I'm independent. So I thought Mama Indy would be suitable.
And Mama Indy it is. So Mama Indy, you are here with your son Cody and your partner.
Mm-hmm.
You've been traveling from place to place. You do a lot of traveling in a van.
Yeah. We're modern gypsies.
You gypsy types have been causing trouble apparently up in Garberville and San Mateo.
In Garberville, there's a lot of people passing through there right now because it's a good time of the year. I headed south. And I am hearing, I guess, that we're the only people. There's a new officer in Garberville.
A new man on the streets.
He was brought in from Los Angeles. And one of the local ministers has started a petition to get him removed because he is picking on all of the people that look low income or white trashy to him.
You gotta remove the minister, obviously. This guy is doing good work spreading the LA doctrine.
And most of the locals are low income or white trashy looking people, so he's starting to piss off the people who actually have lived there for 20 or 30 years.
Not that it matters, but what's the name of this Garberville cop, do you know?
I actually don't remember his name. I could get it, but I don't remember it. I had a face-to-face with him, and I found his main problem is he's from Los Angeles, and he talks like he's from Los Angeles. And when I asked him what he was doing looking in my van, he told me he could just fucking arrest me right now, goddammit, and stop the bullshit. And when I sort of told him to go right ahead and that we'd discuss the whole matter in court, he called me a fucking bitch. So he was trained right.
Very right.
LAPD has once again done their job correctly and sent another one of their lovely officers on its way because...
One of the Furman Patrol.
Yeah, I met a few here in Santa Cruz that were also set up from LA. I'm originally from Los Angeles, spent 15 years there, and also was beaten up and put in jail by the Los Angeles County Sheriff and Altadena Police Combo Team. 4 months later, I was dismissed of all the charges, and two of the officers involved were suspended for 2 months, not for beating me up and arresting me, mind you, but for shuffling the paperwork and saying that one of the officers that was there was not actually there, and I had a ticket that had been signed by him.
They left a bad paper trail. You know, if you're going to cover up those beatings, you've got to do a better job.
Yeah, don't sign anything and then try to tell people you weren't there later on. But so I run into a lot of like LA trained cops in other places, and they seem to carry that attitude with them wherever they go. But I don't know what's going on right now. In Northern California, people come out here in droves because they hear how wonderful the people are and how beautiful it is and how liberal and just open and family it is in California, and the cops are probably the worst out here about people living in their vehicles of any place I've been to in the West Coast. They're probably the hardest on people living in their vehicles than anywhere else. And in, as I was saying, in Garberville, we're walking away from our vehicle to walk up through town and go to the supermarket, and we've got the baby in the stroller and our dog, and we're like a block and a half away from the van, and we see four by and two police cars pull up behind the van and start like banging on it and pounding it, testing the doors and looking in the windows. And one of the driver's side window is broken out. When we got towed, it happened, but that's another story. And so they were sticking their head in and like moving the curtain and looking in the back and trying to see if they could open the doors when I ran up on them and asked them what the hell they were doing. And they said they could park anywhere they wanted to, so I told them that we could park anywhere we wanted to, but that they...
How many cars were there? How many?
Three cars and three officers. And,
asked if there had been a complaint or they had some suspicion of a crime?
Like somebody was habitating the vehicle, and this is like 6 o'clock in the evening on the main city street. Like there's one street that runs through the middle of town, and it's the only parking space that's not two-hour parking. And we've been parked there for a few hours that... go into the store and go into the park and coming back to the van.
In fact, been sleeping in the vehicle?
Not at that location. But yeah, of course, we live in the vehicle. But no, not
in Garberville?
No, not in Garberville. Not in Garberville itself, in Redway. Which is the same. This is actually not Garberville Police. It's Humboldt County Sheriff's.
The notorious Humboldt County Sheriff's.
And so they gave us the same statement that most police give us, which is that if we want to keep our child in our vehicle, we'll leave town.
And what was your response to that?
That they could fuck off, but I left town. Because I happen to like my kid really a lot and don't.
Who's your son?
He's a year and a half. And I know I would get him back if they took him away, because there's no real reason for them to keep him from me, and we have plenty of family and legal support to make sure that he's not kept from me. But even an hour, let alone a day or two, which is what it'd probably be, is too much time for him to be away from us under those sort of circumstances.
So it succeeded in driving you down the road?
Yes, and to San Rafael.
Did you talk to the minister, who, did you inform him before you left town about what this cop was doing?
Somebody, there's a homeless committee starting up there right now about police brutality against the homeless and low-income people. So we discussed it with one of their board members. So that
you know this group or where they can be reached?
I know, I can probably put you in touch with them, yeah.
We'll have an interview with them next week, folks.
They're starting to try to get rid of two of these officers because, I mean, I just asked him what he was doing in the what they were doing looking in the vehicle, and I was told to shut the fuck up. So he's obviously not diplomatically trained.
Well, they didn't, you know, slap you across the face and lay you out on the sidewalk. Aren't you pleased?
I have a 1.5-year-old, and I'm watching the way they're treating people, and I'm just thinking, if it keeps escalating the way it did from the time that I was one till I'm now 30, by the time my kid's 18, you know, if he, like, goes to Hockaloogie, they're going to kick his ass and take him to jail.
Where is Hockaloogie? Hockaloogie, whoa. Dang it.
My mom used to always say that eventually they're going to get you with creeping with intent to crawl. And that's, I mean...
You gotta catch them early, you know.
Well, in Santa Cruz, the only law that you can get arrested for intent is the camping and sleeping law. I mean, if you intend to sleep, you can be arrested. You don't even have to sleep. You just have to think about sleeping. And they can give you a ticket, right? So, I mean, that is creeping with intent to crawl in a way, because it's sort of being tired with intent to sleep or something like that. But
I catch your gist. A quick correction, though. It's actually harder to convict someone under a law where a specific intent is required.
Okay.
For example, if you're caught sleeping in your van, they don't have to prove you intend anything. Sleeping is enough.
Right.
Or if you're caught covered up with a blanket after 11 o'clock outside, that's sufficient enough to prove you intend to do that. This you're doing it. Whereas the intent section of the camping law says that if you intend to sleep overnight in an established campsite, if you intend to establish a campsite, you have to be dumb and say something like, "Yeah, I've been sleeping here for 5 years, and I intend to sleep here for the next 5 years." Then they have the grounds for charging you with that crime, which is a crime 24 hours a day. This is for all you encyclopedias at home who are wondering more about the sleeping ban. But back to you, Shan.
Okay, so now we're in San Rafael. So we went to San Rafael, because we're headed to, south for the winter.
Carterville is, of course, in Northern California, pretty up there in Humboldt County. That's where they stop you on the road and have the dog sniffing your car for marijuana. And you headed south, and you got as far as Marin County, which has San Rafael.
Yes. And we stopped in San Rafael due to some minor mechanical difficulties and the desire to take showers and do laundry. And we're on the 4th Street in San Rafael, which is the main street. And someone asked me for a cigarette, so I gave him a cigarette, and we sat down and started talking. And he knows some people I know who travel around, and he was telling me stories about the police there, and we were smoking a cigarette. And the cops came around the corner. He put the cigarette out, and they came up and proceeded to search him, because he's 17 and was smoking tobacco. So they proceeded to search him. Completely search him, take his wallet out and go through his wallet like he's going to have cigarettes in his wallet.
Now, let me point out at this point, before we go any further, that it's my understanding that if we're talking about an infraction, not a misdemeanor, you cannot search someone incident to a ticket unless you, for example, see a suspicious bulge that indicates they may be carrying a weapon. And if they have to articulate particular facts that lead them to have that suspicion.
No, they said they were searching him for cigarettes.
Searching him for cigarettes.
Or any form of tobacco.
I see.
And when they found a lighter, that meant that it was okay to continue the search, because he had a lighter on him. So then he must have something on him. And they went through his wallet, like they were going to find tobacco and cigarettes in his wallet.
Wow, this is a new one. Interesting.
Yes. And they did find a small knife and got upset with him about that.
But he informed them that they hadn't asked him if he had any weapons on him, just if he had any tobacco or tobacco products on him, which is true, because I was sitting there. And he was watching a backpack and a skateboard for two different friends, so he says. And they were looking at the backpack. And he told him that he was watching the backpack for a friend. And two other people came forward and said, yes, it's true. I know the guy. He's not here right now, and he is watching the backpack for a friend. The police searched the backpack.
Without his permission?
Without his permission.
Over his objection?
Over his objections. Found marijuana in the backpack and arrested him for the possession of marijuana in the backpack. Then when I stepped forward, because someone came to get the skateboard, and when he came forward to get the skateboard, the cop said, well, he said he was watching the skateboard and the backpack for a friend. So are you that friend? Because they had found the pot in the backpack. And the kid had said that he was watching the skateboard and the backpack for some friends and had very clearly said that. And so I said, he said that he was watching the backpack and the skateboard for some friends. And this is the friend who belongs to the skateboard. One of the officers came over and told me to shut the fuck up. And when I told him that I had the right to observe, he said I was interfering in a police investigation. And when my son stepped down and started to walk towards them, they said that I was causing endangerment to my child by allowing my child to be in a police investigation, and they would arrest me and take Cody away immediately. And the officer put his nose on my nose and yelled in my face and said he would take my son right then and there and put me in jail if I didn't shut the fuck up. And I told him to go for it, not to take my son, because my husband had taken my son and started to walk away from the scene, but to arrest me, and that we would discuss the whole thing in court. Because I had every right to observe, I had every right to give information, I had every right to let my son walk on the city streets, and that if he wanted to try to arrest me for that, he could go right the fuck ahead. And at that point, my husband yelled down the street that if I was going to start getting myself arrested, that he hopes that I would wait until the baby was off the booby, so that he wouldn't wake up at 3 a.m. screaming for me. And the cop at that point took a step backward, and his superior said, if you know what's good for you, you walk down the street until he cools off a little bit. And we stepped away from each other.
Well, there's certainly someone whose heart you've broken in beautiful San Rafael.
When he was getting ready to arrest me, he was reaching for his cuffs when my husband said the statement about, if you're going to get arrested, at least wait till the baby's off the booby so I don't have to wake up at 3 a.m. And that seemed to get him. It just snapped him enough that he took a step back and let me go.
The name of this officer?
Callahan.
Wow. And his sergeant?
No, they refused to give me any cards or write down their names on the police cards when I was leaving the scene, because I asked them for all their names and their cards. And they said they did not have any legal right to inform me of who they were.
When did this happen?
About 3 days ago.
And it happened at 4th, and what was the cross street?
I'm not sure what the cross street is. It's right there where the bank is, you know, San Rafael. Where the grassy area is, everybody sits.
Oh, yes, I know that area. Because I go to San Rafael and I talk to the homeless.
Fourth and B.
B
is further down, because B is where St. Vincent de Paul Lunch Kitchen is.
I know what you're talking about, though. It's across from Original Joe's or Marin Joe's, whatever they call it. And used to be, the movie theater was in the next block. They no longer got the movie theater, they still have the marquee. I remember that.
Yeah, you can see it from the grassy area. Yeah.
And so, was there a large crowd observing?
There were 3 or 4 people standing by, and like I said, a couple of them that knew the kid that were saying that the backpack wasn't his and asking the officers what they were doing, and were willing to get into a little bit of trouble to stand up for their friend, which was, I thought, was really cool.
What about Marinites, who are presumably using the Bank of America Instateller nearby?
People who are walking by, not much, no. Not much, no, not paying much attention.
Should we say hailing the crowd and saying, come on over and watch the harassment of young people here on the steps?
No, because they started yelling about interfering in a crime scene and everybody stepping back and going home.
I see. Well, the answer to that, by the way, listeners, is if police say that, you should step back and continue to say, come on over and take a look at this situation. But whatever you do, don't interfere in a crime scene, is my suggestion.
That's the thing that got me was, I said that I had every right to observe, and the officer said I needed to go back to law school because I had gotten my laws incorrect, and that they didn't need any cause to search the kid's backpack. And then when he said he was going to take Cody away for endangerment of a child and I told him to prove it, he said I needed to go back to law school, that he had the right to take a child if he thought I was endangering him. And one of the kids made a comment that, well, isn't it your job to keep the streets safe enough for kids to walk around on? Wouldn't you be the one who was should be charged with endangerment if the child can't even walk down the city street? And then I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah.
You left it then because of the situation. Did they also leave it? Did they go after, can you harass other people, or were you just not observing after that?
Well, I was really, I get very irate about these things, and I was pretty upset, and I hadn't shut up. I was still continuing to sort of say, he had no right to do that, he doesn't have any right to do that, goddammit, he doesn't have any right to do that.
Right, which is, of course, true.
Yeah.
And but a few other people stayed until they actually put the kid in the car and drove away. I mean, there was a constant crowd standing around them. They've been.
Did you talk to any of the locals beforehand? Were you in town for a period of time? Had you spent the night in San Rafael?
I was actually talking with the kid about the police when they came up and did that he was telling me they were getting really rough on people and picking on people for skateboarding and hacky sacking and doing all sorts of different things. A kid just recently got hit on a skateboard coming down a hill by yuppies in a van, and the people swept up the glass and were getting ready to drive away when police arrived on scene, and the police let it go.
They let the yuppies go away?
They let them go. They let them leave. They didn't file any police report about the hit and attempted run at all.
Really?
Yeah, so now the kid's trying to sue them civilly for the hit and attempted run.
So they are conveniently seem to be now targeting the kid who has a lawsuit pending against the police. Do we know his name?
No, but it was his skateboard that he was trying to retrieve his skateboard.
This wasn't the kid they arrested.
No, this was the kid who walked up and tried to claim his skateboard and got searched because they had found the pot in the backpack. And the kid said he was watching the backpack and a skateboard for friends. And so because the kid came up to claim his skateboard, they searched him because they had found pot in the backpack. Which doesn't make much sense to me. Because if you walk up and claim that it's your skateboard, you're not gonna, and the backpack's laying open with the pot coming out of it, you gotta be pretty sure you're gonna be clean if you're gonna walk forward in the first place, right?
Well, it lets the community know that they should strip at any time the police clap their hands.
No, it's getting to that point. But so we walked away. But that night, we were introduced to two different officers of San Rafael. As we were making dinner, we got a knock on the van door, and when they saw the child, they have a tendency to become kind of polite when they discover us in the van with a kid for some reason or another. And at this particular occasion, they said that they were there to inform us that at this time of the evening, they drive around and look for vehicles that look like people may be living in them, and they knock on their doors and let them know that in the city of San Rafael, it's illegal to sleep in your vehicle. And they were very polite about it.
Did they give you an alternate location where you possibly could go to sleep?
Out of the city limits of San Rafael.
Somewhere else.
And informed us that we had a little bit of time to finish having our dinner and get ready to go, but that they were going to come back around and all the vehicles that they thought were being inhabited, that they had spoken to earlier and hadn't left, and all the ones that they hadn't seen earlier and that were now there, were going to be impounded. And have a nice night.
Yeah. What was your response to this?
Bye. And now we're in Santa Cruz.
And how long have you been in Santa Cruz?
2 days. And we'll be gone by Monday.
And have you had any problems sleeping in your vehicle on the street in Santa Cruz?
We really haven't been sleeping in the vehicle on the streets in Santa Cruz. Right now they're being kind of lenient on people out and outside the city limits, I've noticed.
Well, you know, it is legal to sleep in the county, in spite of what I'm told and what some folks may be able to hear if we have enough time here on the air. Sheriff's deputies are misinforming the public about this, and I've continually tried to bring this to the attention of the public and even to the attention of the Sheriff's Department. But it is legal to sleep in the county in a vehicle, except for 4 very small no camping zones, and of course, no parking zones. You can't park in certain areas.
You know it's illegal to sleep in your vehicle in the state of California.
That's contention I've heard from you and one other person, but I've never seen the law in front of my eyes.
Well, the officer in San Diego cited the statute and showed it to me in his ticket book.
I've yet to see it, I've been doing this for a decade.
And I can't remember the number because it was one of those three.
It's illegal to lodge, for example, anywhere in the state. So if you there's a law against lodging. However, sleeping in a that's lodging. That's a good question. It's a statute passed in 1872. I think it had to do with a Reconstruction era statute to go after black people, but. Not as far as I know. Is there any law against sleeping? There is, for example...
It's in your vehicle. Supposedly, what I was told by the officer was, it's in your vehicle in any undesignated campground or non-private property area in the state of California.
I'd love to see the law. Maybe the officer can show it to me when I'm sleeping in my vehicle and we can discuss it. Of course, the problem is, as you know, when you're in your vehicle, you're particularly vulnerable to towing situations. And I guess it often seems easier, particularly if you have a child in tow, to get the hell out of there and then to deal with that kind of shit. And that's true. although, hopefully, if you
get... when he's off the booby, chances are I'll end up going to jail once or twice. But...
and hopefully you'll be able to get a significant restitution for that action.
Until then, Scott has a very good point. It's not fair to Cody to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning without his mommy.
In the meantime, you, of course, are going to become a seminal person in starting a vehicular residence rights group that's going to fight back throughout the state.
That's actually a wonderful idea, Robert, because I am getting pretty fed up. I mean, this country was founded by people who traveled around and lived in their vehicles, for Christ's sakes. I mean, we're a gypsy society at the core, and to not understand that and to not respect that just seems ludicrous to me. And to punish people because they choose a different lifestyle in a country that's about freedom of religion and thought and God, what else? You know, it gets me. I cannot even be articulate because it gets me so upset to think that because I want to raise my child to believe that being kind to other people and being a decent human being and treating the planet with respect is more important than having a job you hate to buy stuff for people that you dislike, that I'm punished for that on a continuing basis. Just,
you're not alone in your feeling on that.
And I met a lot of people who are living in the vehicles with their kids for the same reason. It's because they're watching their families and society work at jobs they dislike, resent their families because they're working at jobs that they dislike to support their families in neighborhoods that they don't want to be in, living in houses that they don't like, buying newer cars so that they'll be cooler than their neighbors who they can't stand. You know, and then when somebody chooses to be free and happy and raise their child in love and community, they're punished for it.
Ain't it the truth? Of course, if you've been trying to call in, you are listening, of course, to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobe's Pierre Robert Norris, so with my guest, Shannon. What are we calling ourselves?
Mama Indy, because they think I'm indigent and I feel independent.
Mama Indy, hey.
My husband hates it.
It's cool, Mama Indy. But listen to Mama Indy on Bathrobe Spares Broadsides. If you've tried to call in, you know, I have been unfortunately kind of beyond the range of the phone ringer, and now I am back on target here. So call back, and I will definitely pick up your incoming phone call. 427-3772 is the phone number. Have you been hassled for sleeping in your vehicle? If you know someone who has, isn't it time to get these city council candidates, whoever wins, to get out their butts and do something about basic civil rights for people here in Santa Cruz? I would say so. What do you say, Mama Andy?
What? I'm
asleep here, folks, in the studio.
Oh, I'm reading your stuff. You shouldn't have so much stuff around for people to read while you're trying to talk to them. About Santa Cruz and the basic rights in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I'm just saying that I was asking you a rhetorical question.
I've gotten many tickets at City Hall, so.
You have, in fact, been a person who slept at the City Hall Sleepers protest.
I never did sleep. I was one of the awake ones.
You were the vigil person.
I was the awake one. No, at that point, I still didn't want to be arrested and get tickets, but now I seem to not really give a crap anymore. Though, you know, you get arrested too many times, you seem to come out of jail with your brain fried, sort of like somebody I once knew.
You're doing fine. Actually, interestingly enough, Dragon Sard Dan Hopkins, one of the co-founders of the City Hall Sleepers protest, has returned to town. I've seen a bunch of old faces around, including Rainbow Light, Loudmouth Leaf, as I call him. But I even see Lighthouse Linda wandering around outside. Maybe she'll come in and grace us with her. Hey, hey, I mean, the smallest van dweller, Cody.
He's already broken the law over hundreds of times. He's in less than 2 years old, huh?
Want to say something?
Say hi.
He's not too sure what to say, folks. So a lot is happening. I like the quick public service announcement. If you want some free food, you can wander on down to the town clock. They start serving at 1. That's Food Not Bombs every Saturday and Sunday. Comida si bombas no, as we say in Espanol. That's from 1 o'clock. A lot of good food, vegetarian, maybe even vegan. I'm not quite sure what they're up to these days, but I'm sure it's at the very least vegetarian. If you want to help them serve, cook food, gather, distribute food, or do anything else for Food Not Bombs, you can give them a call at 425-3345. Also, here's a plug for Feed the People. Feed the People is happening at every Mondays and Tuesdays. It's a peanut butter, jelly, and love sandwiches, compliments of shit kicker Sean Alimi. He doesn't call himself a shit kicker. That's my doing. Sean is... He wasn't there last Monday and Tuesday because he had a van problem. Apparently, while he was out of town, his van was mislaid. But it has been returned to the proper owner, and he is going to be back there on Monday and Tuesday at 5:30 down at, near Logos Books, that general area on Pacific Avenue between Cathcart and Lincoln Street. So if you want some food tomorrow and the next day, go on down there. And if you want to help him do some feeding of the people, it's 425-3333. Or for you literalists who like words, it's 423-FEED, F-E-E-D, to help with Sean Alimi's Feed the People. Well, you know, it's coming into the last half hour of Bathrob Spears Broadsides, and I was kind of hoping that we would hear from that man about politics, dead-on David Silva. He's supposed to be calling in, and old Silva is... He goes to church every Sunday. He's a God-fearing man, and I mean, God should fear him at this point. He's one of the most active activists I've ever heard of, particularly for a man with an AIDS condition. The guy is amazing. Hopefully he's listening to us even now, or possibly my producer is listening, and she will call Dead On David and get him to get off his butt and give us a call here in the studio so we can get the update from him as to what's cooking with the election. After, you may have forgotten, but on November 3rd, it's our chance to kick the clowns out of the city council, I should say, to kick out the designated heirs to the Kennedy... What do we got going now? We got Kennedy... Kennedy and Campbell are going out, as is Mayor Celia Scott, and hopefully incoming, I've got to say this in spite of the fact that I'm not terribly happy with all of them, is Sugar, Fitzmaurice, and Crone. They are actually getting a lot. There's actually been a split in the usual progressive ruling class here in Santa Cruz. Interestingly enough, that's often when you get some radical changes, when there are splits in the ruling class. This is one split to follow. I hope the right side of the split wins. Vote Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar on the 3rd of November if you are a voter in the Santa Cruz City area. Make sure you get to the polls and vote. This is one election that actually probably makes a difference. Not that these are the most wonderful, as I said, but they sure as hell beat out Steinau, Walton, and Quartararo, who are just the same old gang in worse garb. They're dressed up as women and diverse and all that sort of thing, but I'm afraid their political positions are just as bad as Kennedy's and Rotkin's and Matthews and Hernandez, and they'll make a majority if any one of them gets in. So we do have... We do have real choices in 2 days, on Tuesday. Any day you can go down to do your voting and vote on Tuesday. That's what I urge you to do. Let's take a breather, and then you can give a call if you want. Maybe we'll even get David Silva to give us a call and give us the update. If not, we got plenty of street interviews. We're going to go with those recent street interviews as to what's been going on down on Pacific Avenue. So hang with us, and we will hang with you.
Good afternoon, race fans. We're here for the 42nd annual running of the Corporatopolis 500. The top names in racing are here, and it promises to be a day of swift excitement. Right, Kathy?
Right, Hank. And it's a gorgeous afternoon at the Corporatopolis Multinational Raceway here in beautiful San Francisco. We really couldn't have asked for much better weather than this. Sunny skies and not a cloud in sight. And I know the drivers and the pit crews are really happy about that.
Right as rain, Kathy. Acid rain, that is. And during trial heats this past week, we've had a lot of it. But the weather has really done a complete turnaround today. It's a beautiful, warm afternoon. Just a perfect day for racing.
And speaking of those trial heats, we've seen speeds in excess of 200 miles per hour this past week, despite the rain. And one car to keep your eye on today is the Nike car, powered by a turbocharged 6,000 human power engine. It's really had a lot of people talking this past week. And we should mention here that Nike's brought in its Indonesian workers to man its pit crew. And that crew has been here for the past month, Hank, making repairs, fine-tuning, overhauling, and getting ready for today. It's one of the hardest working pit crews I've ever seen. And so far, Nike has paid them 3.5 cents. Boy, were they happy to see those paychecks yesterday.
Nike always did have that competitive edge. It's what makes him such a great champion and a power to be reckoned with on this track today. And another power to be reckoned with is certainly going to be the Bank of America car sitting on the pole position. Bank of America, of course, won this race last year, and they're going to be looking to repeat that performance here today. And some say they've got a pretty good chance of doing it. They've got the best car money can buy, all the oil in both Kuwait and Saudi Arabia at their disposal, and their driver, Bill Freemarket, who goes by the nickname $100 Bill, is known to be ruthless, both on the track and off. A man who leaves nothing to chance.
And leaving nothing to chance, in fact, leaving nothing at all, is certainly what the Pacific Lumber Car is well adept at doing, Hank. Their car, made out of wood, Hank, with clear-cut stands of old-growth redwood, will be sitting at the number 2 position and is by all accounts expected to run a tough, aggressive race today. It was the Pacific Lumber crew, we should note, which was accused of placing a bomb in one of the other cars at the start of the trial heats. This charge was flatly denied, but the Rape and Run car, as it's been dubbed, went on to post one of the best times in the heats and is certainly in prime position to take this race today.
The cars are lining up for the start of the race now. There's the General Dynamics car with its attack helicopter flying overhead. There was a bit of controversy earlier this week over that helicopter, but after a meeting with General Dynamics executives carrying briefcases full of cash, race officials gave the green light for the helicopter to fly point on this race.
There's the Committee on Jobs car, Hank, a local favorite in this race. And there's the pit crew making some hurried last-minute checks. And yes, I believe they're ready. Yes, there goes the pit boss walking away, wiping his oily hands on a neighborhood newspaper. And here comes the car now, moving out of the pit area and... Uh-oh.
Oops. Exiting the pit area, the Committee on Jobs car ran over a couple of homeless people. Let's hope that's not an ill omen, Kathy.
There they go, grinding the homeless people under their tires as they head for the starting line.
Those who are superstitious might say that's a bad sign that this race isn't going to go well for the Committee on Jobs, but let's hope not. They're a hometown favorite, and they've got a lot of fans here today.
Indeed, Hank. And wouldn't it be fun to see a local favorite beat the odds and pull off a win here today?
The cars are all in position now, and there's the flag, Kathy. And the 42nd annual running of the Corporatopolis 500 is underway.
That certainly was a smooth start, and the Chase Manhattan car moves into an early lead, jumping ahead as they go into the first turn. Followed by the BCCI car, the Bank of America car, and the RJR Nabisco car, which suddenly is doing a lot of smoking.
That car is putting out a lot of smoke, so much so that you can barely read the big red Viva Prop 187 emblazoned on the side of the car. We're going to have a yellow flag now here early in the race.
There goes the RJR Nabisco pit crew into action, assuring everyone that the smoke is not harmful to their health. But it looks like this race is over with for them.
Top break for the RJR Nabisco car. The green flag is back now with the Chase Manhattan car still in the lead, followed by the BCCI car and the Bank of America car driven by $100 Bill Freemarket.
It's still early in the day, and this could still be anyone's race, Hank. There are a lot of tough contenders back there looking to nudge the three front runners out of the way.
Moving out of the straightaway into the turn now, it's still Chase Manhattan followed by the BCCI car. And there goes Bill Freemarket making his move now on the BCCI car. He's pulled up even with them and he's passed him. Bill Freemarket in the Bank of America car has moved into second place.
He came out of that straightaway and into the turn at 200 miles per hour, Hank. No wonder he pulled a move on BCCI.
$100 Bill Freemarket. They say he's as ruthless as the day is long, Kathy, and he's proving it here on this track today.
Indeed he is, Hank, and we're seeing some tense action here at the Corporatopolis Multinational Raceway in San Francisco. Some great driving, some fierce competitiveness, and this race isn't over yet, Hank.
Not by a long shot, Kathy. And here's the lineup as it stands now. Leading the pack, it's the Chase Manhattan Bank car, followed by Bill Freemarket driving for Bank of America with BCCI bringing up third place.
Uh-oh, Hank. The Chase Manhattan car is in trouble. He's run into a popular Mexican uprising on the side of the track. Oh, he crashes. He's out of the race.
Well, that certainly is a dramatic turn of events, Kathy. How quickly the great ones fall.
Indeed, it does change the picture, especially for $100 Bill Freemarket, who now moves into sole possession of first place in the Bank of America car.
And he'll be followed closely by the BCCI car. And Kathy, the AT&T car has now moved into third place.
He's moving along at a fast clip, right on the tail of BCCI. And Hank, here comes the General Dynamics car with its attack helicopter flying point, moving into fourth position.
And something's amiss here, Kathy. The pit crew has signaled for the AT&T car to come in, but so far, driver Jack Pushbutton has made no move to leave the track. Could it be he just isn't getting the call through his headphones?
Some kind of breakdown in communications there, Hank. Moving into fifth place now is the Rape and Run car of Pacific Lumber, followed by the Blue Cross Insurance car, the Nike car, the Exxon car, and the Committee on Jobs car bringing up the rear.
$100 Bill Freemarket still holding on to that lead, but he is being dogged mercilessly by the BCCI car, who apparently has some thoughts about regaining that lead.
Those two are being followed at some distance now by the AT&T car, which still, Hank, has not responded to that pit call, followed by the General Dynamics car in fourth place.
And as we approach the halfway mark of this race, Kathy, it's the Bank